Bible, raise your hand. We'll get one for you. If you don't have a sermon outline, we'll get one for you because there's going to be a pop quiz after the sermon. So we're going to see who pays attention. And we're going to have a prize for you. Whoever gets the answer is going to get a prize. And I keep that a secret, so I don't want to spoil that for you. All right, Matthew chapter 5, verses 21 through 26. We ready? All right, it says this. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you are going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard, and you be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. Let's pray. Father, speak to our hearts through your word. May your word transform us from the inside out. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The danger of unresolved anger. I asked a question about, has anybody ever been angry before? We have been angry. Some of us who have been angry, have you been angry and you said some things that you regretted later on, as you said? It just came out and you said it. And some of us say, you know, I've never really murdered anyone physically. I never murdered anyone. But yet Jesus says that before we physically murder someone, there is a premeditation, a motivation that leads to murder. And that motivation that leads to murder is anger. I'm so angry I could hurt somebody or kill someone, some people say. Anger leads to murder. Because I just believe that if you love someone, you pray for someone, it's hard to kill somebody that you love. Most murders happen because people are angry, and they can't deal with the anger in a God way. So Jesus now is talking to disciples, and he says to them, now he's really now interpreting the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, where it says, thou shalt not commit murder. And so he says, you've heard it said, thou shalt not commit murder. Now, many of us, when we hear that, we say, well, I'm clean today, I'm good, this sermon's going to be easy. I haven't committed any murder. But yet, Jesus says, I'm going to go deeper than just the physical act of murder. Jesus says, I'm going to deal with the motivation that leads to murder. And what he's saying to you and I, I'm going to get right into your neighborhood, come up to your living room, and talk to you for a minute. I'm going to look inside of you, because what Jesus says to you and I, what he's more concerned about is not just our actions, but he's concerned about our attitude and our motivation. And I believe as Christians, God, first of all, wants to work in us so he can work through us. And so God has to do a work in us before he can do anything through us. And so what he's dealing with here, he's dealing with the internal motivation of the disciples. And he says, hey, you've heard it said, do not commit murder. But I say to you, any one of you who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. He says, your anger, your attitude is detrimental to you and can lead to murder. But he says to you, before I even deal with that, before we go to the physical act, let's deal with the motivation that leads to that. So many of us have been angry. We've been angry with people. And if we weren't careful, if we were so angry and we had the opportunity, we would do something to hurt someone if we don't deal with the attitude, the unresolved anger. And if my first point is this, unresolved anger should never be ignored. Unresolved anger should never be ignored. Because if you ignore anger and you don't resolve it, it's going to go off like a time bomb at the wrong place, wrong time, sometimes to the wrong person. Have you ever been, you talk to somebody and they just blow up on you? You say, man, what did I do to you? They're not really mad at you. They're angry about something. And you just happen to get caught up in the crosshair. And you get the full blast, we call it. But yet Jesus says that unresolved anger cannot and should not be ignored. You should not ignore your anger. Because if you're angry, if you don't deal with it, it's going to cause problems in your life and problems with other people. And what we're seeing in our life and what we're seeing lived out on television and other places is people are not dealing with unresolved anger in a healthy way. Because let's face it, things happen to us, life happened to us, people are going to hurt you, people are going to say things about you, to you, people are going to be mean to you and say things, but it's all about how you respond to what happens to you. And so let's look at letter A when I said that anger left unresolved can have dire consequences. If you just leave it alone, it can have dire consequences. And one of the first consequences I think that unresolved anger can have, it affects how we view one another. It affects how we view one another. Now, look what Jesus says again in verse 22. He says, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And he says, whoever insults his brother will be liable to counsel. When we are angry with someone who has hurt us, what it does, it affects how we view that person. And it says that whoever insults his brother. Now, I want you to understand, so when Jesus is saying this, when he says his word brother, he's talking about, in particular, he's talking about the family of God, the people of God. Because what we have, what we have almost said in our mindset as Christians, that we believe that, okay, when I become a Christian and I join this church, that everybody in this church is going to be perfect except me. Now, here's what I mean by that. Because everybody in here wants grace and forgiveness. But most of us don't want to give grace and forgiveness to other people. Now, what I mean by that, now, if I offend you, I want you to forgive me. I really do. But if you offend me, I don't know whether I'm going to forgive you or not. You see how that works? If I offend you, I want you to forgive me. But if you offend me, I got to really pray about whether I want to forgive you or not. Now, is that really right? But most Christians come to church, and as soon as someone offends them, you know what they say? Man, them folks over there are hypocrites. I ain't going back to that church. And yet what they fail to understand is, what about you? Are you really that perfect? Haven't you offended somebody? Now, here's what I tell people this too. I want you to use that same logic on your job. If someone offends you, quit your job. They offended me at my job. I quit that job. Why don't you quit your job? Well, I'm not going to do that. Why aren't you going to do that? You know what they said to me? Well, I got to work for a living. Oh, so you value your coworkers more than you value the body of Christ. Think about that. So you would stop coming to church because somebody offended you, but somebody at work offended you, and you're going to keep showing up on time, ready to work. So that says you value your coworkers more than you value the body of Christ. And what we have said in essence, what we don't know how to do as Christians, how to deal with conflict in the body of Christ. Because we have said in our minds, when I become a Christian, everybody here is going to treat me nice, no one's going to offend me. If they do, there's something wrong with them, so you know what, I'm going to find me somewhere else to go. And now understanding, no, conflict is a part of life. Whenever you get two people together, there's going to be conflict. If you get married, guess what? After the honeymoon, there's some conflict. What we're going to eat, there's a conflict right there. And so things happen to you. And so what we have to understand is the fact that how do we deal with unresolved anger, and how do we deal with that is how we view one another. So if I'm angry with you, then it will begin to see how I view you. So I begin to insult you. He says, he who insults his brother. You begin to say things, insult people. Because now what you have done now, you no longer see them as a brother or sister in Christ. You now see them as the enemy. And what we have to be careful about is when you see people as the enemy, what do you do with the enemy? Kill and destroy the enemy. And what he's saying here is that if we don't deal with unresolved anger, we will kill and destroy our brother or sister in Christ. And so, yeah, you may not have done it, murdered no one physically, but some of us have murdered some people with our mouths. We have insulted them, there's an APB out for you, a warrant for your arrest. You have murdered some people with your mouth. And that should not be in the body of Christ. And we have done that. So unresolved anger will affect how we view one another in here. Not only that, it affects how we speak to one another. Look what he says again in verse 22. He says that whoever says you fool will be liable of a hell of fire. Fool, moron. Call somebody a fool. Now, it's not jokingly, you saying this from a deep inward inside of you. You mean this word. When you say this, you mean it's coming from a place of saying, I just can't stand you. You're good for nothing. You're a fool. He's saying that you're saying it out of hatred. He says, whoever says that is liable to the hell of fire. Do you know words can kill? You ever heard that saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me? That's a lie. That's what I'm telling you. That's a lie. Because, see, if you hit me with something, my body may heal. I'm going to heal up. But the words you say, they go deep down into the inside of me. And I remember what you said came out your mouth. And that hurts. And our words can kill. And it talks about that in Proverbs 15, verse 1, it says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. See, when you're angry with someone, you can't even talk nice to them. They walk up to you, good morning. No, it ain't. Oh, just angry. Because you have some unresolved anger. You can't speak well of people, and then you begin to just say things and insult people. Words can hurt. Not only this, it says in Proverbs 18:21, it says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Death and life. What it means is you can either kill someone or you can restore someone by your words. Like I say, many of us have killed some people with our mouths and what we've said. Like I said, the FBI is looking for you. Because you have damaged some people with what you've said. So be careful what comes out of your mouth. And also, there's life in what we say. We can lift people up, build people up. I always say this right here. It takes nothing. It's easy to tear people down. It takes no thought to tear people down. But it takes effort to build people up. And I just believe as the body of Christ, we should want to build people up. Don't you think it's true? We should want to lift people up and encourage people and build people up. Because especially our brothers and sisters in Christ, we should want to encourage one another, not tear each other down. And there's nothing worse than a church that has a people with mouths that are like sores, that's cutting people up. You can't grow a church with people like that. But God wants us to be people who deal with our anger in a way that glorifies Him. So, unresolved anger affects how we view people. It affects how we speak to people. And not only this, unresolved anger also reveals a deeper spiritual condition. It reveals a deeper spiritual condition. Because it says that if you insult your brother and you call him a fool, you are liable to the hell of fire. I don't know about you. I don't want to go nowhere near hell or fire. I don't want to go that place. And he's saying that when you have unresolved anger and you view people this way and you insult people like this, you are in danger of the hell of fire. That means, in fact, that it can reveal that when you always angry and you insulting people and you saying harsh things about people, what he is pretty much saying, you may be on your way to hell. Because he's saying you surely can't have the love of God in you and talk and insult people like that and say you know Jesus Christ. He's saying that you probably are in danger of going to hell. Because it's saying it's revealing something deeper going on in your life when you always cutting people up and you're tearing people down. That's a problem. And we as Christians want to make sure that if we can't resolve our anger and we can't forgive people, we can't extend grace, that may be as a sign that we have never experienced grace. It may be a sign that you have never really experienced grace. Because when you really have experienced the grace of God, and when you really understand who you are, and when you truly understand that God forgave you out of all your mess and out of all your stuff, how can you stand before God, before people, and not forgive people? That says there's something wrong with you internally. That you have not really experienced the love of God. Because what you have not experienced, you cannot extend. I'll say that again. What you have not experienced, you cannot extend to other people. If you truly have not experienced forgiveness and the grace and the love of God, I can't give it to you because I haven't experienced it. But when I have experienced it, I can give it to you. Because Jesus said, he asked a question. He says, who will love much? Those who have been forgiven much, those who have been forgiven little. And he said, those who have been forgiven much will forgive much. Those who don't believe they have been forgiven much, they won't give forgiveness to people. Because they really don't believe that they were that messed up anyway. Hey, I'm not that messed up, so hey, when you hurt me, I'm going to hold against you. Unresolved anger also can reveal a deeper spiritual condition. And that spiritual condition can be that you're far away from God. Because Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth does what? Speaks. Your mouth reveals your heart. You may have a murderous heart. You say, wait a minute, I never killed anybody. With your words, you have. Think about the people that you may have a problem with. Think about the people you may have unforgiveness toward. How do you talk about them? And that's why Jesus says to us, bless your enemies, don't curse them. Pray for them and do good to them. That's what God expects us to do for people who despise us and use us. God says, pray for them, bless them. Because it's hard to, kill people you're praying for. It's hard to insult people that you're saying, God bless them, take care of them, watch over them. May your hands be upon them. Yet most of us, people we're angry with, we don't pray for. We pray against them, but not for them. God wants us to pray for our enemies. Secondly, unresolved anger damages relationships. Unresolved anger damages relationships. Now, I want you to know that verse 22 took me back. When I read it, I said, man, this is deep. Because unresolved anger affects us in two ways. Spiritual, with God, and with other people. But the spiritual part really was like, I was like, wow, God really is serious about relationships. Look what he says in verse 22. He says, so if you are offering your gift at the altar and they remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. In other words, God says, and this is the point I want to give you, we cannot worship God with sincerity, with unresolved anger. Do you know that when you have unresolved anger, it affects your worship, your relationship with God? And God is saying this. Let me give you a picture of this. God is saying today that if you are angry, have unresolved anger with someone, God says this right here, you shouldn't even come to worship. You shouldn't even get your offering. That's really what he said. He said, hey, here's a guy coming to spiritual worship, bringing his offering to the altar to come to God because you bring an offering because you want to do what? A sacrifice, number one, to worship God and have your sins forgiven. God says, before you come to me and try to get right with me, go get right with your brother, then come to me. He says, don't even come to church. I'm like, wow, that's deep. He said, leave your gift at the altar, go and be reconciled to your brother first and then come and worship me. And I said before, you can't be right with God and wrong with people. And many of us come to church every Sunday, wrong with people, hand lifted high, tell us, Lord, I lift your name on high. And he said, you need to be out of here. You got some people that you don't hurt. Go get right with them first, and then come and worship me with a pure heart and clean hands. Isn't that deep that God would say that to us? That don't worship me when you have unresolved anger. Go, leave your gift. In other words, God said, I don't really accept that gift yet because it's not given with a pure heart because your heart has anger in it. I'm thinking, wow. Can you imagine if we really applied that verse that most of us would show up on Sunday, including the pastor? Well, the pastor, he had to apologize to somebody. He can't be, he'd be late. Think about that. I mean, really, honestly, think about that. If we really took this to heart and really said, I cannot really worship God, and I got this anger against someone, how can I come in here and praise God with that in me? And God is saying, I don't see that as worship when your heart's not right. Man, unresolved anger affects your spiritual worship. Now, many preachers ain't going to wouldn't tell you that. Listen, now. They tell you, listen, send your offering in the mail. You might not show up, but send your offering. God says, I don't even want nothing. That's what God said. God said, I don't even want anything from you. What I really want from you is a right relationship between people. That's what God wants from us. So it affects relationships. You can't worship God with sincerity. Not only that, we cannot develop healthy community with unresolved anger. And what I mean by community, the body of Christ. In the body of Christ, we cannot develop healthy community in the body of Christ with unresolved anger. That means, in fact, if we ever going to grow as a family, as a body of Christ, as a family of God, so we truly love one another, we care for one another, we can't do that when we're mad at one another. See, there's nothing worse than two Christians mad at one another and won't talk to one another and want to worship together. How can you do that? I mean, how can that happen? How can we develop healthy community in the body of Christ where we have two people that won't talk to one another, won't get along with one another, and yet we say we love Jesus? As Tony Evans said, there's a dead monk on the line somewhere. There's a problem. Now y'all will get that after a while. We get that. But that means there's something wrong. We cannot have healthy community in the body of Christ with unresolved anger. If we're ever going to be a church and really be a family, that when Jesus says that they will know you're my disciples based on how you what? Love one another. Jesus says our faith is put on display to be judged by others and the way we treat one another. Wow, that is powerful. So it will affect the way we relate to each other. We can't worship God with unresolved anger. We cannot develop healthy community in the body of Christ with unresolved anger. And third, letter C, we cannot have healthy marriages with unresolved anger. Hello, coming to your neighborhood. I just pulled up at your house right now. Just pulled up. Let me in. Think about that. There are many marriages that are unhealthy. And the key is unresolved anger. Unresolved anger. And when there's unresolved anger in marriages, you know what happened first? We start insulting one another. How I view you. You know how somebody looks at you, you say, man, you disgust me. Then the words come out. There's insults. You start insulting one another. Then there's contempt. But the issue is this. There's unresolved anger that you haven't dealt with. And you have not given it to God. And there's many marriages that are unhealthy. And the reason is there's unresolved anger. Shouldn't be that way. You got to resolve the anger. You got to deal with it. You got to deal with that anger. Say, why am I angry about this? Because we can't expect God to bless our marriages when there's anger that's there. And let me tell you something. I've been married for 20 years now. And I can tell you there have been times I've been angry with Lynette. She's been angry with me. But every time for me, every time I went to God and told God on my wife, you know what he had a conversation? I told God on her. I told him. You talk to your daughter, Lord. She's not doing me right. Now, here's what, every time I did that to God, the first thing he wants to talk to me about is not about Lynette. He wants to talk about me. Every time I go to God about her, he talks to me about me. Let's talk about you, son. Let me deal with you first. When every time I listen to what God said, I've seen in my life some things in my life that wasn't right. That he's shown me, yeah, maybe the way she said that wasn't right, but still. Inwardly, there's something in you that your attitude toward that is not correct. It's not Christ-honoring. It's not right. And then I have to repent and get right with God and resolve that anger that's in me. Why are you so angry about that? Maybe some of you need to go to the altar. And you need to go to Jesus. And before you talk about your spouse, let Jesus talk to you about you. I'm pretty sure you have a lot, he'll have a lot to talk to you about you. And many of us won't do that. Some of our marriages are in trouble because there's unresolved anger. And if you don't deal with that unresolved anger, your marriage is not going to glorify God. And God wants your marriage to glorify him. You need to deal with that unresolved anger. So we're going to give you, I'm going to give you some keys in the next points, keys to dealing with anger. Some keys to deal with anger that I see from this scripture that Jesus gives us. How to deal with anger. Whether it's with marriages, with relationships, with people, how you deal with anger. I want to read the verse again in verse 22. I'm sorry, verse 23 says, so if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. Come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to court, lest your accuser hand you over to the judge and the judge to the guard. And you'll be put in prison. Truly, I say to you, you will never get out until you have paid the last penny. I believe the first way that we have to deal with unresolved anger is this. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge it. Acknowledge that you're angry. See, that's the first thing, is saying, hey, I'm angry. Now, I'm going to put the men on blast for a minute, just to help me out with this sermon, this gracious. You ever did something to your wife? Now, I'm not saying don't let you do too much. And you walked in the house, and it felt cold in there. It was hot outside, but it was cold in the house. AC wasn't on, it was cold. And you said, hey, how you doing? Silence. And you said, hey, what's wrong with you? None. He said, man, what's going on? Now, you know in your mind there's something wrong, right? There's something wrong, right? Either I didn't take the trash out or something going on. But the problem is this. Somebody in the relationship won't acknowledge that they're angry. They are angry, but they're saying they're not angry, but yet their actions and their attitude, you know they're angry, right? So we've done that to one another, right? You okay? No, I'm good. I'm fine. Just want to be left alone. Acknowledge your anger. Acknowledge that there's something going on in your life. Because when you acknowledge that, then you have now, you're able to begin to resolve it. You say, I'm angry about something. Something has made me angry. Remember I said anger in itself is not wrong. It's unresolved anger, which is wrong. And when you do not acknowledge that you're angry, how can you resolve something that you won't even acknowledge that is wrong? So you have to acknowledge it. He said, remember, if you got something wrong with your brother, you need to go, or they have something against you, go and get it right. Acknowledge it. The second thing also I think is important. After you acknowledge it, you should examine it. Now, what I mean by this is, why are you angry? Ask yourself, now I'm angry. Second question would be, why am I angry? We need to figure out, why am I angry about this? What's making me angry? Because James chapter 1 verse 19 says this: know this, my beloved brothers or sisters, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Why? For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. God says that you should be, first of all, quick to hear. God gave you two ears for a reason. Listen more, speak less. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to get angry. Most of the time when we get angry, we are quick to speak and slow to hear. And what he wants us to do is, when we get angry, we feel ourselves getting angry, first thing we need to do is examine it and say, why am I getting angry about this? Something's being said, something's being done. Why am I angry? Because the key is this, the reason why I tell you to examine it, because maybe your anger is a reason, is your defense mechanism. Something is said to you, something is done to you, you're angry about it because, and you get angry, you say something because you really don't want to face maybe what that person said to you is true. And you're angry about the truth. Because let's face it now, truth hurts. Truth is like casserole. It's good for you, but boy, heart going down. Truth hurts. And so sometimes you can hear something and get angry, and you say something to someone. But if you would just stop and examine and ask yourself, why am I angry about that? Then you begin to let God do an x-ray on you internally. And maybe he brings something out of you and say, hey, you're angry because what they said about this is true. And you don't want to deal with the truth. Because like the theologian Jack Nicholas said, you can't handle the truth. And you get angry. Let's face it. We get angry. So examine why you're angry. Examine it. Because maybe when you examine it for what it is, you might say, I'm not angry. Maybe I should repent. Maybe I should get right with God. Maybe God has brought that person into my life to bring this up to me because now he wants me to deal with it. Maybe you can be like a Nathan that goes to David. Now, David could have got angry at Nathan. David could have got angry at Nathan and had him killed. But David knew that what Nathan said was true. Because it says that when Nathan told David this parable, do you know what he said about David? He got angry. He got angry and said, that guy deserves to die. And he said, hey, I'm talking about you. Uh-oh. But he was angry. Why was he angry? Maybe because it hit too close to home. Sometimes we get angry. Now, sometimes that anger is justified. Sometimes when you are angry and you ask why you're angry because you've seen some injustice that happened. You're mad about something that's happening. It's an injustice. And God's okay, you're angry about it. Now what can you do to help the issue? What can you do to bring light, to solve the issue? Maybe when it comes to the issue of Ferguson and Eric Garner, you're angry about that. Now you examine, hey, why am I angry about that? Why am I so angry? Because maybe it brings back flashbacks. Somebody in your family got assaulted by a police officer, or you've been stopped, and you get angry about that. And now what you've done, you have transferred what happened to Mike Brown or to Eric Garner to your own life, and you're angry. And God said, you should be angry about that, but now how are you going to deal with that? Pray. Seek to have a healthy dialogue with other people. Seek to speak intelligently about the issues and not to attack people, but to say, hey, here's what I see about this issue. Here's why I'm angry about this injustice. Here's what happened in my life, and here's what is brought up to me. So examine why you're angry. But then also, learn to see, master it. Acknowledge it, examine it, master it. That means to not let anger control you. It says in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. Now, some people have misinterpreted this. One time, the pastor preached this, hey, be angry and sin not. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. He said it on Sunday, and it came Wednesday night for Bible study. The couple came into church all disheveled and messed up. He said, man, what's wrong with you? You're not looking too good. They said, pastor, we ain't slept in 3 days. You said don't let the sun go down on your anger, and we ain't slept in 3 days. He said, you ain't slept in 3 days? No, we ain't slept in 3 days. We just been mad. So we figured we weren't going to sleep. We just stayed up all night for 3 days. He said, well, I really meant for you to resolve the anger, not to stay angry for 3 days. I said, really? Yeah, we deal with it. Now, many people would rather stay up 3 days than to deal and resolve the anger in relationships. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to who? The devil. Do you know that when you're angry, you can give an opportunity to the devil? And the devil come to do what? Steal, kill, and to destroy. And as Jesus said, you've heard it, it said, do not murder. He says, hey, anger starts, first of all, murder starts with anger. Anger, unresolved, can lead to what? Murder. Why did Cain kill Abel? Who was he mad at? God. Cain was mad at God. So mad he couldn't deal with his anger. And God asked him, why are you so angry? And what did he do? Take his brother out. He rose up and killed him because he was angry. And he didn't deal with the anger. If you read that God told him, Cain, if you do what is right, he said, but he said something. Sin lies at the door and it desires you, but you shall master over it. What he's saying to you and I, that if we are angry, sin is close behind us. And if we don't master that anger, sin will overtake us and we will give an opportunity to the devil and we will then sin against God. And we will begin to insult people, we view people, we say things about people, and we have murdered them already. And you're guilty of murder. But don't be like the guy who said, well, since I'm already guilty of murder, can I go and kill him really? I said, no, you can't do that. No, you can't kill him physically. He wants you to deal with it. We give opportunity to the devil. Some of you right now, I don't know who you're, you are giving opportunity to the devil in your life. Some of you at this point, right now at this point, the devil is having a field day in your home. Him and his homeboys have showed up at your crib. Tailgate. Because you're giving him opportunity. He's in your mind, he's in your heart, because you've given opportunity. Because you won't deal with the anger. God wants to deal with it. So we must acknowledge it, we must examine it, and we must master it. And letter D, resolve it. Now that takes humility to do this. Because it says, Jesus says, leave your gift at the altar. It says, do what? Go and first be reconciled to your brother. The ultimate goal that God wants when there is a hurt done in us is reconciliation. And if I can say anything to you, I've been preaching now for about 15 years, been in church ministry for about that time, and there's two things that I can say that I've seen that Christians are bad at. And Jesus talks a lot about this, and we are horrible with this. How to deal with conflict among brothers and sisters. We are bad at doing that. And the Bible has told us how to deal with conflict amongst each other. Go to that person and be reconciled. First, go and be reconciled to your brother or your sister. Go to that person and deal with it. Don't let the elephant stay in the room. You know what happens to elephants when they stay in the room too long? They start pooping in the room. I'm serious. And it smells in the room. Start sticking in the joint. Some of our relationships stink. Because the elephant is in the room and you won't deal with it. You're angry and you won't deal with it. The elephant's there squatting in your house or in your relationship. Deal with the elephant in the room, the issue. He says, first be reconciled to your brother. Go be reconciled. The goal is reconciliation. Whether it's in relationships, between a sister and a brother, brother and a sister, in marriages, the goal is reconciliation. The goal is marriages, not divorce. That's not the issue. It really isn't. Think about this now. I can prove to you that the goal in marriage is not divorce. The reason why? Because when Adam and Eve had an argument, you know what they had to do? God said, work it out. You know why? There was nobody else. So there's only two of them. Where are you going to go? Think about it. If you viewed your marriage the way God viewed Adam and Eve marriage, when they got upset, they had no choice but to work it out. He couldn't date no zebra. It was only her. That was it. God said, well, that's the one I gave you. You got to work it out. There's no one else for you. There's no alternative. I'm not taking another rib from you. I took you one rib, that's it. Adam said, no, get this one. Cut me, Lord. Cut me now. No. Don't knock me out. Just cut me. He said, no. One cut, one rib. Don't let the brother that came to church one day, he said, man, you got your wedding ring on the wrong finger. Most times your wedding ring is on your left finger, you know. He said, man, why are your wedding ring on your right finger? He said, man, I married the wrong woman. He said, no, brother, you can't do that, man. Put it on, yeah, you can't. But anyway, resolve anger in your relationships. Be reconciled to the person you're angry with. He says also, come to terms quickly with your accuser. It's almost like a legal proceeding. Hey, someone's taking you to court. He's saying you better get right before if you go to court, you're going to be guilty. And he says, you're going to go to jail. He says, come to terms quickly with your accuser while you're going with him to court. Lest you go to court and you be put in prison. Some of you right now are in a spiritual prison. No freedom, no joy. You're just going through the motion, but you're in prison. Because you won't do what the Bible says, be reconciled. That's why it says in Romans 12, says, as much as depends upon you, live at peace with all people. And what it's saying is when it comes to conflict, both parties are responsible for reconciliation. See, what I've seen people say to me were, that person's offended me, so I'm going to wait for him to come to me. See, that's pride. You're so prideful that someone's hurt you, but you're going to wait for them to come to you. Really? I wonder if God did that to us. You people have offended me, so I'm going to wait you guys come to me to him. I'm not coming down there. What did God do? For God so loved the world that he did what? He gave Jesus Christ. He sent Jesus to us. To seek what? Reconciliation. So it is wrong for a Christian to say, someone has hurt me, but I'm not going to them. I'm waiting for them to come to me. Your heart's not right. You should go to that person and say, hey, I want you to know, I'm going to lie something to you. I'm hurt by whatever. I've examined my heart. I want to know why I'm hurt by it. But I want you to know that, but I'm coming to be reconciled to you. Because I love God and I love you, and I want to be right with God and right with you because I can't worship God with this on my heart. See, now that takes humility to do that. But also it takes true discipleship to do that. We have to develop that to be right with people so we can be right with God. The danger of unresolved anger will lead to murder. Some relationships have been destroyed because we're angry. God help us to deal with our anger. So my conclusion is this. Let's be people of love, grace, and forgiveness. Because everyone in here has experienced love, grace, and forgiveness. Dare we not say we don't want to give it to someone else and we have received it? And let's pray for our nation. To be reconciled to God and to one another. And before we get ready to take communion, I know for some of you this message has been hard to hear. This message has brought some things up, and you know, man, that this is a word for me today. My goal is for you and for me and for all of us. Before we come to the table and to receive and to celebrate God's forgiveness, love, and grace, let's get right with people. Number one, acknowledge it right now. If you know right now in your heart you've harbored some unforgiveness, some anger towards someone, deal with it today. Now. Deal with it. He said, well, Pastor, how do I deal with it? Acknowledge it. Acknowledge, you know, I'm angry. Examine why you're angry. Don't let the anger control you and resolve it. Agree today that when I leave here, the person that the Holy Spirit has put into my mind, to my spirit to deal with that, I'm going to go to that person and get it right. I'm going to go to them, even if they offended me, I'm going to go to them because the Word of God says that leave your gift and first be reconciled to your brother. And you say, I love Jesus so much that I'm going to take him at his word. I'm going to do what he says. Because I love him so much, I'm going to do what he says. So with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I'm going to give us an opportunity to do something. If you're here today and you know right now that the Holy Spirit is convicting you of some anger in your life, I just want to pray with you because I love you and God loves us and he wants us to walk in holiness and righteousness and victory. So if this message has impacted you, you're saying, Pastor, there's some things in my life I want to deal with and I need prayer. Just right where you are, raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Just right where, hold your hand up. I see those.